Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada. We're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish is going verse by verse through Joshua chapter 3, beginning at verse 5, with a message entitled, Being Prepared for God's Work. So let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Let's say all of a sudden you want to start studying a topic. Let's say I really want to study about Islam. And you start studying about that, what they believe in, how to witness to them. Don't you think God's going to bring some people across your path that are from that background so you could minister to? Absolutely. Whatever topic it is, whether it's creation and evolution, you'll get the brainiacs that'll come and you'll have all these answers. Or a Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, atheist. You start giving yourself to something, God will bring those people across your path. Or maybe your life's just been devastated, you've been crushed, you've been through a whole bunch of stuff, and God's rescued you, redeemed you. He'll bring those people across your path as well. And you'll be ready to minister to them. Something you need to think about. If the Lord starts raising up people in our congregation that have been saved 6 months, 9 months, a year to do the work of the ministry, that means the more mature believers have dried up and you've lost your heart for God. Because God wants to use the more mature because they should know more, they should be more effective in God's kingdom, but they don't have the hearts. God looks for the hearts as well. And He'll use someone that has this tremendous heart for God but doesn't know anything. Didn't you find that? I mean, my first message to people was, you better repent or you're going to burn in hell. That's all I knew to say. I didn't say too much about the love of God. I just threatened people with hell because I knew that was true. Now I only say that 90% of it. No, I've learned and get the full message of the gospel. But I had a zeal and passion wanted to tell people about Christ. Let's not lose our hearts as God matures us. Because He'll raise people up. God's not going to sit around and wait. He's looking all over saying, where's that heart that's eager, that's set apart? There's that person I can flow my spirit through. He'll raise that person up, but they've known the Lord for a week. We can't find anybody else in the body. So it shouldn't just be the young ones that are excited about God's work. We should be those that are crying out, God, use my life for your purposes. That cry should never cease. No matter how much the Lord's done through you, no matter how long you've been in the Lord, if it has, then that means something else has dominated and captivated your heart. Make sure. Examine yourself, as the Scripture would say. The second area, if you turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. The area they have to be careful, and if you want to be used by the Lord, and if God starts using you in His kingdom, I can guarantee you, you're going to face disappointments. People will disappoint you, circumstances will, and the devil would be right there to want to jump on that and cause you or lead you, tempt you to be bitter towards people. And if that happens, you are disqualifying yourself for the work of the ministry. You're not a vessel for honor. You're not cleansed and purged of the latter. You're not sanctified. There's a major blockage there in your heart for the power of the Holy Spirit to work through. If anything we know about the Lord is that God is love. And the Holy Spirit wants to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, doesn't matter how much you speak in tongues or give your body to be burned or miracles that you do, you are nothing. He says you are nothing unless there's love. So we know, we'd all agree that love is a priority, and one of the opposites of love would definitely be bitterness. They don't go hand in hand. They cannot consist with each other. And that'll be an area that'll quickly disqualify you in the ministry. And the bottom line is, in the church and in life, there's going to be great disappointments, and how you respond to those is going to determine the degree in which God can use you. Because He's not going to pick up a trash can and use it to do an honorable purpose. Remember, the Holy Spirit, He's the Holy Spirit. And He wants to flow through a vessel that is set apart. Cleanse through the blood of Jesus Christ, and nothing that we'd be harboring in our hearts that we'd keep there. That would restrict and quench the flow and power of the Holy Spirit. And then it even gets worse. Look at verse 15. Paul, or whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. You don't want to fall short of God's grace. You fall short by not giving out the grace that you yourself received. God has been gracious to us in salvation. We could all say amen, right? God has cast our sin as far as east is from the west. He's buried it to remember it no more. He didn't hold it against us. And he has been gracious to us. Now he says, I want you to be gracious as I've been gracious to you. Well, we like to say, well, you don't understand what this person has done to me, how they disappoint, how they hurt me, how they wronged me. What if you went to confess your sin to God and God said, yeah, but you don't understand how you disappointed me. You don't understand how you let me down time and time again. You don't understand how much your sin hurts me. I'm not going to forgive you. Aren't you glad that God doesn't respond that way?
Yes.
That's falling short of the grace of God, is failing to respond in grace in the way that God has given grace to us. And we're good. We're experts at justifying this and twisting the scriptures and say, well, it really doesn't mean that. And it means what it says. Now he goes on to say, here's what happens. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. It's a defiling effect because it's a root that's down in your heart that springs up and it affects your other relationships with people. In the body of Christ or in your family or just in general. If you have this root that's there and other people see it, and other people could see the effect of that bitterness, except for you. Because bitterness is that silent sin. It's not something that you could see. You can't see them being bitter until you mention that person's name. And they go, you know, oh, maybe they have a trouble with that person. But you really can't see it, can you? But it springs up and defiles. It's like a weed that's hard to get out. You notice how weeds will grow anywhere, and they grow pretty easily? I mean, you could say, let's say if you want to replant your yard. I mean, you have to redo the soil, right? You churn it up, you get a rototiller out there, you put fertilizer on it, your water, you get seed, chase the birds away, and grass grows up, and the weeds grow up as well. So you have to kill those or get those out and protect that grass, and it's hard for that grass to grow, isn't it? But the weeds just grow naturally. If you just leave things alone, weeds will grow. It's kind of like spiritually. It's hard to get that holiness to grow in your life, isn't it? It's a battle. Sin just so easily entangles us, as the book of Hebrews says. I remember a few months back, I was driving on the 5 freeway, going on that overpass to the 55, the carpool lane, and there was weeds growing up there on the bridge, in the freeway. How easy sin grows. And I don't have any soil that's there, and where'd that seed come from? Who knows, but it was planted, and it grows in the midst of the concrete. That's like sin. It just shoots up so easily. And we have these ideas, well, time will make it better. Time won't do anything but drive it down deeper and make it worse when it springs up. But here's the killer. Here's the killer. We say, because we justify it in our hearts, because they've done this, I have a right to feel this way. And what you have done, you just cut yourself off from the work of the Holy Spirit. You just cut yourself off from being delivered ever from that bitterness. Because you are justifying it. What you need to do is say, this is sin in my heart. It's sin against a gracious God who's been so gracious to me. I haven't forgiven. I'm the one that's wrong here. What this person has done, that's between them and the Lord. What they did was wrong and horrible. But what is just as horrible now in my relationship with God is this bitter heart. And if I don't come to that acknowledgement, I will justify that sin and I will carry that sin with me and it will spring up and defile me. Whatever a man sows, that which is he's going to reap. And I know how hard it is to get that root of bitterness out, and I know what it is to justify in your mind that it's okay. Because I had tremendous bitterness, and I've shared this plenty of times. It was towards my own father, and it was deep-rooted and deep-seated. It was the power of God. I had to acknowledge, this is wrong. I've wronged you, God. I've sinned against you. My heart is wrong. It's corrupt and evil. God, you're my only hope. And I turned to him, and he started cleansing. And the bottom line is there is no justification for having a bitter heart. What you've done is you've just disqualified yourself from the work of the power of the Holy Spirit that he wants accomplished through your life. Not only that, it's going to spring up and mess up your own life, defile you. So it's not worth it. I mean, really, is holding on to that bitterness, is it really worth being disqualified from God's work? I don't think so. The next example, he says, don't be like Esau. Be a profane person. Don't settle for leftovers, for nothing compared to the birthright that God has for you, the inheritance that he has for you. He has good plans for you, but this will ruin it. Don't live that way. It's not a life. It's not a life in the kingdom of God that's worth living, being not set apart for his purpose.